الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليك بتلاوة القرآن فإنه نور لك في الأرض وذخر لك في السماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاكرين والشاهدين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, you and I both know what an honor it is in this world to be attached to some person of importance, whether it be some pious person or some dignitary or some person of influence, then we consider it to be an honor to be attached to such a person, that you have nisbat to such a person, or attached to such a person. It brings a great amount of happiness to a person's heart that is attached to so and so person. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Inna lillahi ahlina minan nas," that from amongst the people, there are those who are considered to be the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can there be any greater honor than being attached directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that you are considered to be the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, "Qalu manhum ya Rasulallah," that, "O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are these special people that they are directly attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They are considered to be the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying, "Ahlul Quran hum ahlullah wa khassatuh." They are the people of the Quran and the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as Ahlul Quran, the people of the Quran. They are the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His special servants. Now the next question is that how do you and I become the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we become people of the Quran, that we are also considered to be amongst the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So in order for us to become the family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to become the people of the Quran, then we need to fulfill the rights of the Quran Majid. And the Quran Majid has certain special rights over us. Inshallah, we will discuss these rights which the Quran has over us. And the first right which the Quran Majid has over us is that we have firm belief that every letter of the Quran Majid is divine. It is directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, our belief is that the Quran Majid, from the time it was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the day of Qiyamah, is the last and final book, and it applies to every era, every zamana. There can be no fault in it, no correction in it. Wa na'udhu billah, nowadays we hear from certain quarters, the modernists, etc., that certain laws of the Quran, wa na'udhu billah, need to be changed, or it doesn't apply to the modern times. Totally false, totally incorrect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, the final book he has brought, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the Qur'an-i Majeed is the best and the most divine book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first right which the Qur'an has over us, that we have firm belief in the Qur'an, that it is true, it is divine, it applies to every era, every zamana. And the more we bring this yaqeen of the Qur'an-i Majeed into our hearts, the more our iman will increase. The more we bring this yaqeen of the Qur'an-i Majeed into our hearts, the more our iman will increase. And you and I all know that we are living in a time of fitna and fasad. On one occasion, Nazar Jibreel alayhi salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَأَخْبَرَهُ أَنَّهُ سَتَكُونُ فِتْنَةٌ. Then he informs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there will come a time when there will be a lot of fitna, a lot of trials and tribulations. قال فَمَا الْمَخْرَجُ مِنْهَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi salam that what is the exit from it? What is the solution to all these fitna? Look at the response. قال كتابullah. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Holding firm to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having yaqeen in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be our savior in the times of fitna and trial and tribulations. So this is the first right which the Quran has over us. That we have firm belief that it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every letter of the Quran-i Majeed is true. And it applies to every zamana, every era. The second right which the Quran has over us is that we have intense love for the Quran-i Majeed. About a century ago, there was a shepherd from the Punjab province. And he was an ordinary shepherd who was illiterate. And after he had passed on, then from his qabr, from his grave, a beautiful scent would emanate. So the ulama of that area were perplexed that what action did this person do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored him in this way. That after he has left this world, his qabr is given off a beautiful scent. So they go to his family and they inquire from his family that what action this person did that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him such honor after he has left this world. So his family explained that he was a simple, ordinary man. He couldn't read, he couldn't write, he would tend to his animals. But he had this one habit that every morning after the Fajr Salah, he would come home. He would take the Mus'haf of the Qur'an-i Majeed, he would kiss it, he would open it. And then he would pass his hands over the ayat of the Qur'an-i Majeed. And he would say that, Ya Allah, I cannot read, I cannot write. However, I believe that every word of this Qur'an-i Majeed is true. And I have total belief in it. And in this way, he would make khatam of the Qur'an-i Majeed. And after he passed on, look at the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with. That despite him not being able to read the Qur'an, but he had such love for it, such yaqeen, such conviction in it, that after he has left this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with such an honor that his grave gives off a beautiful scent. Similarly, beloved brothers, how we live our lives, we will die. We look at Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhum, who was dedicated to the Qur'an-i Majeed. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum obviously had intense love for the Qur'an. But Uthman radiallahu anhu was known from amongst the Sahaba to be one who had a special attachment to the Qur'an-i Majeed. He had dedicated his life to the Qur'an. He loved the Qur'an-i Majeed to such an extent. His daily ma'mool, every night he would make one khatam of the Qur'an-i Majeed. Every night one khatam of the Qur'an-i Majeed in Tahajjud Salah. Not only that, he is also credited with compiling the Qur'an-i Majeed into 7 different qira'ah which we know, and those mushaf have gone out into the world. So this was all done under the khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Intense love for the Qur'an. He would say, if hearts were pure, they would never be saturated with the tilawah of the Qur'an. Meaning you can never get tired of the Qur'an-i Majeed. And as I mentioned, how you live, you will die. Uthman radiallahu anhu, how does he pass away? In Madinah Munawwara, close to Masjid al-Nabawi, in his home, whilst reciting the Qur'an, he was made shaheed. Whilst reciting the Qur'an, he was made shaheed to such an extent that page in which he was reciting had become messed with the blood of Uthman radiallahu anhu. So this was his dedication to the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a death as a matter while reciting the Qur'an Majid. We look at Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, his daily ma'mul, one Qur'an daily. And in the month of Ramadan, two Qur'ans. One Qur'an by night, one Qur'an by day. And we might ask ourselves that this is not possible. No, it is possible. If a person dedicates himself to the Qur'an, he makes a firm resolution that he will take out time for the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts stretching the time for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts stretching the time for him. And in a short period of time, he achieves a lot more than another person would achieve. But this is by dedicating yourself to the Qur'an. So the question is, how do we fulfill this right? How do we bring the love of the Qur'an into our hearts? Number one is, we read the virtues of the Qur'an, the fadail. That if I read so much, this will be the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me with. If I read so much, this will be the reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless me with. So this is the first thing, that he reads the virtues of the Qur'an, thereby increasing his love. The second is, he makes a firm resolution to attach himself to the Qur'an. That daily I will take out so much time, and I will dedicate it to the Qur'an Majid. Automatically that love for the Qur'an will start going within his heart. And the third thing he can do is he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, this is your book. I want to show it that necessary love as I ought to show it. Ya Allah, you fill my heart with love for the Qur'an Majid. So these are the three things he can do to bring about the love of the Qur'an Majid into his heart. So this is the second right which the Qur'an has over us. The third right which the Qur'an Majid has over us is that we show intense respect for the Qur'an Majid. We look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Ikrima bin Abi Jahl radiallahu anhu. Now just look at the effect that the Qur'an Majid has over a person. We all know how Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu had come to Islam. He had set out on that morning with the intention of committing the most heinous of crimes. You can't think of a crime worse than that. His niyat, his intention was to go kill the greatest of Allah's creation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But by the end of that day, he was at the feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. But what was the catalyst? What turned the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu? That when he went to his sister's home and she was learning the verses of the Quran, and when he read those opening verses of Surah Taha, how affected was his heart that from having the intention of committing the worst of crimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns his heart to such an extent that he then takes the shahada at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The direct effect of the Qur'an Majid. There's another enemy of Islam, Walid bin Mughira, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not blessed him with iman. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about him at length in the Qur'an Majid, describing his despicable attributes, وَلَا تُتِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَّهِينَ هَمَّازٍ مَّشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ, explaining evil characteristics of this person, tale-bearer, a person who is proud, arrogant, he has no time for the poor, different bad qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him with. However, this same person, on one occasion, he hears the opening verses of Surah Ghafir, and immediately after that he goes to his people and he says that definitely these words are divine. This is not the words of any human, any jinn. So even the hardest of hearts, it had some effect on them. You and I who have iman, definitely it will have an effect on our hearts. We already have that iman in our hearts. Definitely the Qur'an Majid, if we read it with open minds, we read it with a heart which wants to receive the divine message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely it will have an effect on our hearts. So coming back to Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, he would take the mushaf of the Qur'an Majid, and after reciting it, he would kiss it, he would place it on his forehead, and then he would say, these are the words of my Rabb. Showing honor, showing respect to the Qur'an. And beloved brothers, let us bring this respect of the Qur'an into our homes as well. How we handle the mushaf of the Qur'an. How we should supposed to be kissing it. We place it on a elevated place So this is one aspect, the physical respect of the Quran. Then with regards to the spiritual respect of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. That when the Quran Majid is recited, then what should you do? You should listen attentively. وَأَنْسِتُوا, remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Perhaps you will be shown the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the importance when the Quran Majid is being played or the Quran Majid is recited, then we listen attentively. We shouldn't be talking at that time. Remember, this is such a deed that the reciter as well as the listener is getting reward. When the Quran is recited, then the person who is reciting is getting reward. And it is such a beautiful deed that the person who is listening is also getting reward. On one occasion we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, who was known as the Qari of the Ummah, that recite for me. His response was, you are the Nabi of Allah, Quran is revealed to you. You are asking me to recite to you? He says, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed me that I should instruct you to recite to me. So this is a separate action. On the contrary, just on this point, there is a negative action which has the same characteristics, and that is ghibah. The person who is speaking and the person who is listening to it both get sin. The Quran Majid, the person who is reciting and the person who is listening both get reward. And ghibah, the person who is speaking and the person who is listening is both are getting sin. So the importance of staying away from ghibah. I was just digressing. So coming back to the respect of the Quran Majid, there was a great buzruk of the not so distant past, Hazrat Mawlana Badri Alam Rahmatullah Alayh, and I'm sure many of the elders here would have heard of him. And Hazrat Mawlana Badri Alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with residency in Madinah Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with death in Madinah Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with burial in Jannatul Baqi. And not only that, in Jannatul Baqi they have a habit that very quickly they recycle the graves. And obviously it is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one qabristan in Madinah Munawwara. So many people are passing away daily. So the qabars are recycled very quickly. So approximately a year after he passed away, the authorities opened his qabar to bury someone else in there, only to find that his body is intact like the day they had buried him. Kafan, completely intact. They closed the qabar. 6 months later, again they opened that same qabar to try and bury someone else in that qabar, only to find that his body is still intact. The authorities then closed off that qabar, marked it off, that now this will not be reopened. Again, the ulama of the area were thinking what action this person did. Yes, we know he was a pious person, but he must have had some special action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much to grant him this honor of Jannatul Baqi as well as his body completely intact. So they go to his family, they ask that what action did your father do that this is the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with. So they say he had one outstanding quality, that he had such respect for the Quran Majid that even if there was a young boy who was 9 or 10 years old and he was Hafidhul Quran, then he would not even stretch his legs in that direction. And he would say, how can I stretch my legs in the direction of that young boy who has the Quran Majid in his heart? This was his level of respect for the Quran. And look at the honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives him after he has left this world. So that is the third right of the Quran Majid. The fourth right the Quran has over us is that we make tilawah of the Quran. In the hadith I recited before you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, عليك بتلاوة القرآن. عليك, hold firmly to the tilawat, the recitation of the Quran. فإنه نور لك في الأرض. It is a light for you in this world. One is a physical light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will brighten your face. You will have nur on your face. But not only that, it will be a nur for you in navigating your life. You will be able to decipher right and wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from taking the wrong path. فَإِنَّهُ نُورٌ لَكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَذُخْرٌ لَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. And a treasure for you in the next world. Person makes abundant tilawat of the Quran. And then when he goes into the hereafter, He finds heaps and heaps of treasure. And it will be said to him, this was the tilawat of the Quran you had made. And not only that, it is one of the quickest ways to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَرُجِعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا خَرَجَ مِنْهُ يَعْنِي الْقُرْآنِ. That certainly you will never be able to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything more virtuous than that which has come from Him. Ya'ni, that is the Qur'an-i Majeed. Meaning the best form of dhikr, the best way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through the Qur'an-i Majeed. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream and he asks Allah that, Ya Allah, what action will bring me closest to you? The response came, the tilawat of the Qur'an. Again Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal asked, with meaning or without meaning? The response comes, both. Whether you understand the Qur'an, whether you do not understand it, just by making tilawat of the Qur'an, you are drawing closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that the heart rusts just like how metal rusts. And what cleans the rust of the heart? It is the tilawat of the Qur'an-i Majeed. So this cleans the rust of the heart. So this is the fourth right which the Qur'an has over us. The fifth right, and you could say the most important right the Qur'an has over us, is that we make amal on the Qur'an-i Majeed. We practice on the commands of the Qur'an-i Majeed. And what is the easiest way to practice on the commands of the Qur'an? Follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qur'an-i Majeed, so to say, is our instruction manual. That this is how you will live your life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the practical example of it. By following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are making amal on the Qur'an-i Majeed. So this is the fifth and one of the probably the most important right which the Qur'an has over us. That we make amal on the Qur'an-i Majeed. And the sixth right which the Qur'an has over us is we get involved in some learning or teaching of the Qur'an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. And in another riwayat, أَوْعَلَّمَ. That the best of my ummah, the best of my ummah, are those who learn and teach the Qur'an. And in another riwayat, those who learn or teach the Qur'an. So any of these, some learning, some form of learning of the Qur'an-i Majeed, whether we come to the masjid and we take part in some tafsir class, or we try and brush up our recitation, but some learning or teaching of the Qur'an-i Majeed. Inshallah, if we fulfill these six rites of the Qur'an-i Majeed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us from amongst His special family. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أَهْلِينَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The family of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to recap the six rites of the Qur'an. The first is we have firm belief in the Qur'an-i Majeed. Number two, we have intense love for the Qur'an. Number three, we show the highest level of respect for the Qur'an-i Majeed. Number four, we make tilawat of the Qur'an. Number five, we make amal and practice on the Qur'an-i Majeed. And number six, we get involved in some learning or teaching of the Qur'an-i Majeed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst His family, make us from amongst the Ahlul Qur'an. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah.